Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm here with Illini guy's director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince. And we got a special treat today. We have Jacob Rude, who is coming from Locked On Hoosiers, to talk a little bit about the Hoosier matchup between the Illini and the Hoosiers that's coming Friday night. Jacob, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. It's a Friday night game and a Big Ten game all wrapped in one to kick off the season. It's a unique one for sure.
Yeah, it's I swear Coach Bielma, I think he really likes to play on times that there aren't maybe as much coverage that you're competing against. So you get your highlight reel. Last week, you know, you win 38-6 over Wyoming. If that had been, you know, on Saturday this week, there'd be 100 games on. Maybe it doesn't even make it. But when it's week zero, Illinois gets some great coverage there for kind of for free. Ked, you think Coach B's trying to goose the system here?
I'll tell you what, you know, from a media standpoint, it's working because, you know, last Saturday was week zero. They were the only Power 5 team playing well. Northwestern and Nebraska, but it's a good PR moving in Friday night. I wasn't keen on the football games in the Big Ten high school football, but I'm kind of getting used to it a little bit. I don't think it's that bad, and I know a lot of people are looking forward to it. I know Indiana, I've been all over the Indiana message boards and everything. I know they're really looking forward to the game, so I couldn't tell you if you know, Jacob, but I'm assuming this is a big game for them, so I'm kind of excited about how the turnout's going to be and the game itself.
Yeah, in terms of turnout, our athletic director talked this week and said student ticket sales are up actually from last season despite going 2-10, which I was really surprised by. And he said in general they're expecting a little over 40,000 people, which the stadium doesn't hold a whole lot more than that. So it should be a really good turnout. They have new LED lights that they just installed, so should be a really fun atmosphere.
Yeah, that's you know, we're kind of jealous there. Illinois fans only had 37,000 at the opener against Wyoming. But in fairness to Illinois fans, there's an awful lot of PTSD with in the last 30 years they've had 1 8-win season, 1 9-win season, and 1 10-win season. You know, meanwhile, you have Ohio State who, you know, 11-win seasons appear to be the minimum. So, you know, it's an easy thing being an Ohio State fan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a good friend that's an Ohio State fan, and we talked at times last season about what a disaster last season ended up being for Ohio State while IU is going 2-10, and I tuned out for basketball games late on. So yeah, they can be a bit spoiled to say the least.
Yes, 11-2, and it's a disaster. Those are the type of disasters that Illinois and Indiana fans would love to have in football.
Sign me up.
Yeah, on a consistent basis, you're right.
Yep. Well, I actually went back. They've had 5 losing seasons since 1951. So, you know, they've had their share of tough times, which will make Illini and Northwestern and Hoosier fans just roll with laughter. Let's talk a little bit, Jacob, because, you know, you being kind of the expert on what's going on in Hoosier land, We're looking at what, two new coordinators and a new quarterback this year for the Hoosiers?
Yeah, it's even more than that. The entire offense, there were, I think, three, maybe four offensive linemen that returned. I think it's four offensive linemen. So it's a new center. So there's some shifting around, and that's it. You have a new quarterback, new running backs, new wide receivers, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. Not as much turnover on the defensive side of the ball, but just between, I mean, when you go 2-10, there's a lot of changes that need to be made between that and just kind of the state of modern football, modern college athletics with the transfer portal. When you have a season like that, a lot of people want to shake it up and go different places. So a lot of people transferred, a lot of people went to the NFL, a lot of people graduated, and the end result is just wholesale changes, especially on that offensive end where it's a complete mystery with the how many new faces there's going to be.
How do you think, I mean, have they named the starting quarterback yet? I mean, I've not seen him, but do you have any idea who that's going to be?
No, they have protected that like nobody's business. They told whoever the starter was going to be last Monday, so it'd be 2 weeks ago. And honestly, I'm impressed that it didn't get out from anyone. It was a two-person race. Connor Bazelak, who transferred in from Missouri, Jack Tuttle, who was the incumbent. If I had to guess, I would say it's Connor Bazelak, just kind of reading between the lines on some of the quotes Tom Allen gave and the fact that if you're transferring in, you probably have a pretty good sense that you can win the starting job. So if I had to guess, I would say it would be him, but there's certainly been no hint or suggestion unless you really try to read between those lines and quotes Tom Allen has given. Outside of that, we have no idea who the starter is going to be.
So this is going to be one of the toughest questions I've ever asked, but what should Illini fans or Hoosier fans expect out of that Hoosier offense?
Yeah, it's going to be as much of a guess to us as it is you tomorrow. Well, Friday, whenever the game is when you're listening to this. But what we can kind of base off of, Walt Bell's offenses in the past have been a lot of kind of establishing the run, not necessarily between the tackles, but focusing on that and kind of building off that. You can kind of base it off that. Sean Shivers transferred in from Auburn. He's going to be the starting running back. He's a small guy, 5'7", 185 pounds, I think is what he's listed at. He had kind of developed into a third down back at Auburn last season, and he was really good at it, but he wanted to be an every down back. So he comes to Bloomington. He's going to be the starter. But, I mean, there's even questions there if he can be an every down back. So even what Walt Bell has done in the past, he was at Maryland. Some fans might remember a handful of years ago. I can't remember specifically when. It was maybe 2014, somewhere around then, I think he was at Maryland. Fans might remember the offense then. It was 2016 to 2017, okay. Offensive coordinator and QB coach there. So fairly recently he's been in the Big Ten, but even what the system he ran at Maryland, I don't know that he can run in Bloomington because I don't know that they have the personnel. So between not knowing the quarterback, not being certain if the running back's an every down back, and then the wide receiver position, he came out this week and said that they anticipate 9 guys playing as wide receivers this year. The depth chart at the start of fall camp had nobody as a established starter. So I don't have a great answer as to what to expect from the offense because IU fans don't really have a clue what to expect from the offense. We know a couple players, kind of standout players that are returning, but in terms of any kind of system or anything of that sort, we really don't know. It's entirely up in the air.
So is the offensive line, how do they look coming into this season?
Well, ironically, the one certainty that we kind of know who's going to be there was awful last year. The offensive line really, really, really struggled and completely derailed a lot of what IU wanted to do. There was a lot of criticism there. Surprisingly, that was one of the few coaches that stayed. But Tom Allen has been very upfront about how much they struggled last year and how much they have to improve. It's a veteran group. You have three juniors, a senior, and a super senior with his COVID year of eligibility. So it's a group that's been in Bloomington for a while, but it's also a group that largely struggled last season. So even that group, where we know the players, even that we don't know how they're going to perform because it was bad last year.
So when you put all these guys together, you know, their first game jitters, so to speak, and trying to figure out, you know, what somebody you haven't played next to is going to do. Do you think the first advantage Illinois has with playing a game and already going through that, do you think that'll make a difference? Or do you think the fact that Illinois has no idea who they're going to see on the field will make the scout hard enough to take a little bit of that away?
It's a double-edged sword. IU did not have a public spring game this season, and Tom Allen's reasoning is he didn't want to give Illinois any idea of what they're going to be, and that kind of set the precedent for how they've handled this, like practices, scrimmages, things of that nature. Even throughout fall camp, media was allowed in for like the end of practices and whatnot, but they were very certain not to be doing anything at that point to give any sort of hint as to what the starting offense could look like. So I know Tom Allen isn't thrilled with the idea of another Big Ten game to open the season. It's the fourth time in the last 6 years that IU's done it. He talked about it at Media Day. I went to Media Day, and he basically said it's not a random drawing that is leading to IU getting these Big Ten games. And he wishes that they weren't playing them, especially in a situation like this. I'm sure he'd much rather be playing Idaho, who's our opponent next week. He'd much rather be playing them to start off the season than Illinois. So, yeah, it's you could kind of flip it either way you wanted. It's not going to be great for IU's offense that they don't – I mean, this is going to be the first real game action they've had together, but – Illinois has no idea what to expect either. So it's really hard to kind of tell. You could kind of flip this, like I said, however you wanted it.
Well, Zach, let me ask you real quick. If you look at it, you know, because the way I see it is that coaches are coaches. I know last year Illinois opened up with Nebraska and it caught Nebraska off guard. It really did. And so I guess my question, I don't know if you're a poker player or not, but I'm assuming you watched probably some of the Illinois game last week, a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. Do you think Illinois showed their hand to Indiana, you know, to Indiana as well? Because what I think is that Illinois is not going to know what to expect. Because I'm looking at your roster. Obviously, I don't know the personnel because I don't cover Indiana. But there are a lot of transfers on this roster, which means that you're not really, really young. But I guess my question is, do you think Illinois held back a little bit as well, considering I personally, this is me, this is a huge game. On a scale from 1 to 10 for both teams, this is a 9.5 to me because Illinois is looking to go 2-0. They need to prove that last year, you know, success or building wasn't a fluke. Indiana, on the other hand, was great 2 years ago and they struggled. And you're telling us that there's probably 40,000 people there. You know, he's going to have to try to give Indiana fans say, hey, we're back. So, to me, this is a big game. I'm not saying it's the biggest game of the season, but when you look back in, if it's November, December, this game could be huge for bowl implications, ranking the Big Ten, and et cetera. So, what are your thoughts on what Illinois may have? Because I don't think Illinois showed the full arsenal. That's just me guessing. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they would have. There'd be no reason to against a Wyoming, especially, I mean, coaches are fully aware of what other coaches are going to do. So Tom Allen knew that if he showed anybody anything, the Illinois coaches would scout that. And I'm sure the Illinois coaches knew if they showed whatever they showed in that Wyoming game, the IU coaches were going to be all over it. IU's coaches said that they Tom Allen said the IU coaches were going to watch that game together and kind of see where they were at with their scout and how much they had right, how much they needed to adjust and things like that. So I'm certain that Illinois didn't show everything, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a very different approach to the game this week. But yeah, it's I agree. This is a huge game, I think, for both teams. IU in the Big Ten East doesn't get many chances to win Big Ten games, and this is one of them. This is a very winnable game for them. And so if there's any hope of IU going to a bowl game, the margin is very, very thin, because you pretty much have to pencil in losses to Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State every year. And then IU has Cincinnati on the roster in a non-conference game. So barring a huge upset, you have five losses penciled in right away. Especially this season where we know so little, every game like this, I think, carries a greater significance. So this is a really big game for Indiana right out of the gate. And I think, I mean, like you said, it's a big game for Illinois. And so I don't think either coach showed their hand, and I think that was very intentional.
You know, Cad, what did you pick up off of the defense that you're kind of excited to see that Illinois will be deploying against this mysterious and as yet undiscovered Indiana offense? Anything you're looking forward to?
I'm going to say this, and I'm not being a homer to the Indiana fan listening at this. Yes, I cover the University of Illinois, but what I'm looking forward to, and I'm going to be honest with you, Jacob, I don't know how much you know about Illinois, but Ryan Walters, the defensive coordinator at Illinois, has done wonders. The thing that impresses me, I mean, Illinois made strides. They got better and better and better. And, you know, their record, they ended up winning five games. But their numbers, and they, you know, giving up 20 points a game, and they were, you know, last few years, it was 40 and 45 points. I guess what I'm looking forward to is the adjustments, because Ryan Walters is a master of making adjustments. I look back at games last year, and most teams do really well the first couple series. But once he figures out what you're trying to do on offense, he lets his kids play freely, and they make adjustments at during the game and at halftime. And I guess if Indiana fan, I guess, you know, because I know what people think of Illinois football, and I know what it's thought in the past. And Jacob, I'm going to ask you about that in a second. But I guess what I'm looking forward to is to see if they're going to, Mike, if they're going to carry on that torch and continue to get better. Because if you look at me, I mean, yes, it's a divisional team. No, they're not Ohio State or Clemson, but they didn't allow a touchdown at all. And I think there was times where they could have picked up and done different packages. I don't think they want to show their hand against to Indiana, to tell you the truth. So I'm really curious. I just think it's a really, really good chess match, because I listened to a lot of Indiana podcasts this week, Jacob. I'm pretty impressed. The Indiana people now have a different look to Illinois than what they used to.
So, you know, if we move over, because, you know, and take a look on the defensive side of the ball, how much mystery does that Hoosier team have for what they're going to run on defense, considering, again, we're back into a new defensive coordinator?
A lot less, because Tom Allen is taking back play calling duties. Okay. And so he, again, I mean, he's been brutally honest with talking to the media about last season. He said that they didn't perform well enough, and the buck stops with him. And if he's going to be the one that's kind of going to take the fall if things go wrong, he wants a bigger hand in defense. And that was his specialty when he came in as a defensive coordinator and completely revamped that defense. So IU fans know what to expect, and it's a group with a lot of veterans on that defensive side of the ball. A lot fewer questions. There's a couple spots on the defensive line that are up for grabs. They have to replace Micah McFadden, who was one of the best players the program's had probably in the modern era. He was absolutely incredible. But that was really the only loss that they had. It was a big one, but there weren't a whole lot of other guys that departed. So a lot of talent back on that side of the ball. There's a lot fewer questions on the defensive side. which is encouraging, I guess, just because of the amount of them on the other side of the ball. But the defense, I think fans are excited for, because under Tom Allen, it's largely been a pretty good defense. And I would even argue last season, statistically, it didn't look great, but IU's offense was so bad. It was just constant three and outs, and the defense was out there for so much of the game that they would hold and hold and hold, and finally late in the game, they would finally break just from being exhausted. So I'm a lot less worried about the defensive side of the ball this season, certainly than the offensive side.
How do you think they'll match up against the Illinois run game? Chase Brown had an excellent opener. And unlike the past, you know, year or two, Illinois was actually able to put the ball in the air with Syracuse transfer Tommy DeVito, which made them – they were basically, you know, about 50 pass, 50 run, which was very different than what we've seen out of Illinois teams the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I used not go to see many running backs better than Chase Brown. It is going to be interesting. IU secondary is very, very good. Tywan Mullen is back. He was injured last season. He got hurt in kind of a weird injury early in the year. It was kind of this foot, not necessarily a nerve injury, but an injury that just lingered and lingered, and he was never able to come back. The year prior, he was a first-team All-American. So he's back this season, and he's part of that secondary that is going to, it's really, really good. A ton of veteran talent, a couple preseason all Big Ten, honorees and honorable mentions. So I don't worry as much about that secondary. Now the front seven, Micah McFadden, like I said, he left, he was so big, just, both the tangible of being one of the leading tacklers last season and the intangible of being the leader and the driving force for that defense. He was the leading tackler last year, led the team in tackles for losses, led the teams in sacks, all as a middle linebacker. So he leaves a huge hole to be filled. And I would sure feel a lot better if we weren't playing one of the top running backs in the Big Ten in week one. So between that, and there's a couple spots on the defensive line that the defensive line is kind of underwhelmed for a couple of years now. So there's some spots open there as well. It's going to be an interesting battle. I think IU's defense versus Chase Brown, because if that front seven can hold and you don't have to bring guys into the box, I feel really confident, because I think the secondary is really good, but that's asking a lot of a defensive line and kind of a linebacking core that's shifting some things around as well.
And Jacob, doing a podcast for Illinois, the Indiana fans to listen. But when you watch the game Saturday, and Mike is really decent of the history of Illinois football and how bad it's been. What is your honest assessment now that when Illinois hired Brett Bielema, and were you impressed, and could you see a difference? Because a lot of the podcasts and things that I read this week, a lot of the Indiana reporters, they don't view Illinois as a homecoming win anymore. What are your thoughts on, like, the higher Bielema? Can you see them being a bottom feeder team still, or do the improvement you see?
Yeah, I mean, it's marked improvement. It's a different feel for Illinois. My freshman year in Bloomington, 2009, I went and watched a pretty bad Indiana team beat an even worse Illinois team. I think that was Juice Williams' senior year. But even back then, when Indiana wasn't good, we looked at Illinois as like, oh, we can win this one handily. That's changed. And so just that alone, IU isn't going into this game with any kind of, arrogance, I guess might be the word, that they're the better team here and that Illinois is beneath them in any way. Illinois commanded respect and gotten it, deservedly so. When you have a season like you did last season, you catch everybody's attention. And IU's experienced that as well. I mean, they snuck up on a lot of people in 2019 and 2020 and got a lot of attention. And then, promptly last season happened, but handling that attention is an entirely different factor. But yeah, Indiana, I'm sure Tom Allen has referenced that Indiana has been in their shoes before, and they've been the up and comer that has gotten everybody's respect and everybody's paying attention to them now. So yeah, I certainly don't think Indiana fans, Indiana's program is looking at this at all similarly to what they would have in 2009 when I was on campus. A lot has changed, not even in just the last decade, in the last couple seasons.
So what can we expect in terms of special teams, punting and kicking from the Hoosiers?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Our kicker, Charles Campbell, is really strong a couple seasons ago. He came on out of nowhere, basically, and that 2020 season, he missed one field goal, made every extra point. Was as automatic as it comes. He had a couple long field goals in that too. Last season, a little rockier. I think he missed four or five field goals. So he's still a really solid kicker. He didn't miss any extra points. Punting was among the many things that was adventurous last season. They had a new punter come in. He was a true freshman. Out of Australia, I believe, Australia or New Zealand, I can't remember specifically, had never played American football before, and at times looked like it. he really struggled. So he's still there, and all indications have been that he's much more comfortable now. So the field goal kicking, that part I'm very comfortable with. The punting is another thing that we'll see. Once we get more of a sample size, when it comes to returning, DJ Matthews will be the punt returner, assuming he's healthy. He's one of the few known quantities on the offensive side of the ball. He was by far, I would say, Indiana's best offensive player through the first 2.5 games last season, and then blew out his knee against Western Kentucky. Obviously, was done for the year. All indications have been that he's back and he's healthy and he'll be starting. He's been in the limited kind of practice videos they've shown. He's been in them making some really acrobatic catches. So it looks like he's healthy. He returned one in those 2.5 games he played. He returned a punt for a touchdown. So he's an electric player back there. He's not going to be doing the kick returning, and the kick returning is going to be a redshirt freshman, David Holloman, and Sean Shivers, the running back I mentioned earlier, two guys that didn't do it last season. So I really, that's up in the air. Even the punt returning is not entirely set in stone. If DJ Matthews isn't there, it's a lot of guys who haven't done it before. The next guy on the depth chart is a true freshman as a punt returner. So there is some questions there. It'll be a big relief for Hoosier fans if DJ Matthews is healthy and is playing and there are no limits or anything to him, because he's huge for the offense and huge for the punt return game as well.
Yeah, and Illinois had some challenges on the field goal front, but for the most part, you know, they've got pretty good kicking and a nice punter, another import coming in for Illinois as well. 29 years old, so got a lot of experience, et cetera. So they should be okay in terms of having somebody who's calm under pressure. But again, playing their first game in the Big Ten, first game on the road, there's a lot of room for some variability. So Ked and I had to predict what we thought would happen, and we both had the Illini winning this game. Where do you come in when you're looking at picking for this game coming up on Friday evening?
It's such a toss-up. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot in between the two teams. I think this is going to be a really tight game throughout. I went 23-20 Indiana. I think it's going to be fairly low scoring. I'm relying a lot on Indiana's defense in that prediction to hold stout and allow IU's offense to figure some things out, because I imagine early on there is going to be a feeling out process. And my hope is, as the game goes along, they get a little more comfortable with one another and are able to put some drives together and whatnot. It'd be great if they came out and did that right away, but I think that's probably a pretty unrealistic expectation. So this is going to be a really tight game. I think it's going to be within one score probably for most of it. I'm hoping for a better start to the season than last year. Last year, IU opened at Iowa in a Big Ten game, and about, I think, a little more than 2 minutes into the game, they were down 14-0. They gave up a 60-yard touchdown run and a pick six. So we set a pretty low bar that we're going to have to clear when it comes to Big Ten season openers. So I'm hoping this one's at least a little more competitive.
Kat, any thoughts from you as we kind of wrap this up a little bit?
I don't remember. I did pick Illinois to win only because, playing that first game is huge. And, the players are going to know what to expect. It's a road game, but they're an older team, and I like DeVito. I think he's a huge addition to the football roster. Illinois hasn't had a quarterback that plays in probably 57 years. Sorry, Cam. But truthfully, I think he's huge, and I think our running game, that is the strength of our team, is Illinois' game. And like I mentioned earlier, the defensive adjustment on I think it's to their advantage. We don't know anything about what Indiana, because like we talked about, I look at the Riders, it's still football. At the end of the day, they're gonna put their cleats on and it's a chess match. What I don't want to see, it's a struggle. See teams out there trailing. I'm really happy that Illinois put themselves in a position where this matters, because Mike, you and I both know 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, you chalk this up as a loss. Illinois fans wouldn't have cared. Now they're thinking, okay, we win this. If they win, could they go undefeated, in the non-conference and try to get to a bowl game? So I will say this in closing. I'm not a fan of any team opening up with conference play. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that Penn State open up with each other. I think it does teams a disservice. You mentioned Indiana, Idaho next week, I believe. That's what I think should happen. Give these teams who have a chance, who are Power 5 schools, figure out what's on the table and to become better. Because let's face it, they're the attractive teams in the bowl games. They're the teams that everybody's going to be watching. I guarantee it, the Penn State and Purdue, people are watching it because there's nothing else really on TV. So I guess, Mike, to answer your question without, continue to blabber, I just really want to see Illinois make adjustments and compete and give themselves the chance to do well, prove to the Illinois fans that good hire and they're no longer the laughing stock of the Big Ten.
So, Jacob, you do Locked On Hoosiers. So for those fans who are listening to this who may – enjoy hearing about the Hoosiers, why don't you give us a little bit description of your show and how they can get that show?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the only daily IU sports podcast. It's a 20 to 30 minute podcast each day, talking football, basketball, soccer, pro Hoosiers, everything in between, recruiting. Obviously, everybody loves to talk about that. So yeah, everybody that, like I said, every day, everybody that wants to stop by can more than welcome to. And there's always a ton of stuff to talk about. And I'm glad that the summer's over and we have actual sporting events to talk about, because those summer months can really drag on.
Yeah, if it wasn't for all the excitement and basketball recruiting, that could have been tough, because the football coaches locked down things. So you really can't get much news out of those guys. You can see that the NFL has had an effect on Coach B from his time with Belichick. And so there isn't a lot of information to be had. So we are very thankful for the transfer portal when it comes down to the summertime. Now, of course, I'll put in a plug here, because the Locked On Network is really good. I have a tendency to listen to the Locked On NBA and the Locked On NFL podcast as I drive to work, to very good products. So definitely something somebody might want to listen to if you're a Hoosier fan And of course, if you are looking at Illini Guys, go to IlliniGuys.com. You can sign up for $99 a year, and you will get 7 days to kick the tires and see how it performs. Most of the people who do that stay with us. Of course, whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the U.S., or halfway across the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. And, of course, listen to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That radio show is a weekly two-hour sports extravaganza that is on 21 stations, on 31 signals across the state of Illinois, from Chicago to St. Louis, and everywhere in between. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you can see the station closest to you, what day, either Saturday or Friday, and then what time we're on, if you want to watch that. And as a final note, you can also get Sturdy for 30, our award-winning podcast done by Brad Sturdy, or you can listen to Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where he talks to the recruits, their parents, and their coaches to get the other side of trying to get a scholarship in big college sports. And lastly, of course, we encourage you to turn on Locked On Hoosiers if you want to listen to the latest updates about what's going on in Indiana, which we don't necessarily recommend for Illini fans, but there are plenty of Big Ten fans out there who love to know what's going on around the conference. You definitely want to tune in to Jacob's podcast on there as well. Jacob, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'll offer one olive branch that I join Locked On Big Ten once a week as well. That's a daily show that I'm sure Illinois fans would have a lot more interest in listening to. So we have a Locked On Big Ten show that's daily as well.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, we really appreciate you taking time out of a busy schedule to come and talk with us. And of course, folks, the Illini up against Indiana Friday night. It's going to be a good game. Should be a slugfest by two schools that are big time rivals. So tune in. And of course, here on IlliniGuys.com, we will have coverage after the game. And of course, you'll also be able to hear the latest stuff on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular on Saturday. Thank you all. And I know Jacob's not going to like this, but go Illini.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.